Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is April 24th, 2020. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Mike.
Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. I'm still debating whether that's a good thing or a bad thing anymore, but it doesn't seem like a lot different on weekends these days when you can't go do a whole lot.
Well, you need to have projects at home. That's what I've done. I just pick a project. And
I don't know about that, but because those never go away.
I'm not going to give your wife any ideas. Yeah, that's true. The list never ends. So, but hey, Kevin, you know what? The NFL draft was yesterday, and I was talking to our marketing guy, Pete, and the first thing he said to me was, he said, did you know that White Sox were having, I know it's baseball, but he said, you know, the White Sox are having their best year ever.
Okay.
And I said, wait a minute, there's no baseball. He says, yeah, I know. I'm a fan, but yeah, I can joke about that. But the NFL draft was last night, and there was a lot of cool things.
It was nice to have a little bit of sports, even if it wasn't a game to watch and listen to, and you know, something to help put me into a nap state.
There you go. Well, obviously, Joe Burrow was no surprise being the number one pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. Which
well, after the national championship game, can you blame anyone for selecting him? And the season he had, he was on fire. I don't remember how many touchdowns it was, 50, 60, whatever, but it was pretty insane for a college football season. So well deserved.
Yeah. Well, the other one I really liked was the Los Angeles Chargers picking up Justin Herbert from Oregon. The quarterback from
Oregon.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big Philip Rivers fan as you may or may not know, and him leaving the Chargers was sad, but bringing on a young kid like him, I think he can do some really good things there.
I'm going to disagree. I having my daughter at Oregon, I watched a few Oregon games this year.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that guy's got bust written on, but seeing as how I am now a Las Vegas Raiders fan.
Yes.
The fact that the Chargers may have made a bad pick. Yeah. I'm pretty happy about that.
That's true. But
now,
hey,
you know, the Raiders got a lot of criticism too.
Yeah, but give Justin some credit, man. He had some bad games last year, but hey, he is no Ryan Leaf. I went to Washington State, and he's not going to be a Ryan Leaf, and I wish him the best of luck.
Well, two predictions. He'll be more impactful than Ryan Leaf,
okay,
and Jamarcus Russell.
Combined. Cool. Well, it was nice to have a little bit of sports in our day with everything that's going on. But
The scary thing is, all he has to do is carry the clipboard for like 5 years, and he exceeded both of their NFL careers.
Yeah, you know what? I if I had a chance to do that, I would do it. You know, I'd carry that clipboard for 10 years.
Best job in football.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you're not getting hurt. Well, Kevin, today I thought we would follow up on sugar. And as our listeners know, right now is a very, very crucial time in the sugar business. We have beet plantings, which we covered a little bit just recently on, but every week matters in the planting progress. I thought you could talk a little bit about Mexico and what's happening down there. And, you know, we've had concerns about whether they'll be able to ship the sugar under their allocation, and then a little bit about the world market. And for those out there that heard me in the past, I said once it hits 9 cents, watch out for zombies. And so you better be watching out for zombies, because we've gotten to 9 cents.
Getting there really low with Brazilian crop coming online. Obviously, they're the big producer, and all this COVID-19, the energy market sapped. It's coming up to zombie apocalypse on sugar.
Oh my gosh. So, Kevin, where do you want to start? You want to start a little bit on beet plantings and kind of what the current week saw as far as the progress?
Yeah, I think that's a great area to focus on here at the start and get into a little bit of details, because this is one thing that's really positive right now. You know, after last year's really wet spring and delayed plantings, this year it looks like we're off to a really strong start, especially when you move west of the Mississippi River and in Michigan too. But Red River Valley, we still got some things lingering there. But when you look at the west region, you look in Idaho, all the different growing districts there, they're off to a flying start. They actually got in really early, got some cold, wet weather that probably going to create some decent amount of replants that need to take place. You know, maybe even as high as 10% of the acres that have been planted have to get replanted there. But even with that replanting, with the weather they're getting right now, things are off to a flying start for them.
Excellent.
Ahead of normal. And, you know, that's one region where we haven't had to worry about the crops. They've been putting out over 40 tons per acre over the last 4 years and seems pretty much like clockwork. And here to get off to a, you know, a good start, a little bit ahead, and with super good forecast right now, they could just be off and running here full speed ahead, 100% planted real soon.
That's great.
Moving out into the plains, a little bit mixed here and there, but still ahead of normal schedule. We've got some regions, Montana's probably like 95% planted already.
Wow.
Wyoming, Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, all probably at least 50% planted today, and expected to be probably close to 70% by the end of this week. And like I said, they're just making tremendous progress there. Again, favorable forecasts and all going well.
Great.
Michigan, same type of story. They could way ahead of schedule here and expect to be about 90% completed by the end of this week. They've, again, had a little bit of that frost and issues, probably have some replanting need to be take place, but it's all good. They're way, way, way ahead of schedule. So all's looking good there.
Okay.
Then last, and certainly most important, is Red River Valley. So as you'd expect, it's a pretty wide region there going from south to north. Southern Min is making good progress. They were claimed to be about 50 plus percent complete and looking to make some strong progress this week as well. So hopefully we can get them up to 75, 80% by the end of the week. Then when you moved into the further north, Mindak, and it starts getting colder, starts getting where they've had, you know, not necessarily a lot of weather issues this year, as it's been pretty dry really since January, but it's really about all the lingering effects from the wet fall and early winter conditions. And so got to let the ground thaw out a little bit more, let some of the snow melt before they can really get going. So Mindak was probably about 10% complete, and then American Crystal just, you know, barely getting started. There's some acres in the ground, but not much.
How does that compare to historically where we'd be at this time?
That's exactly the key. They usually don't really get started until May, so I'm not really behind in any way of any stretch of the imagination. So I think things are, you know, going to look good. Weather forecasts are starting to look good, and I think they can still make good progress here, get started here early May, and, you know, they could be done within, you know, 2 to 3 weeks in May. So,
wow. Great. Okay. Well, so so good progress overall so far, and more to come, and we'll keep people updated.
Now, very optimistic.
Very optimistic. I'd like to hear that. Let's shift over to Mexico. So as we mentioned in previous podcasts and analysis that you see on the IQ platform, you know, there is some concern over Mexico's crop and how much they'll be able to export into the United States to meet our needs. What's your take currently on Mexico?
Well, Mexico did come out in their official estimate for production. They came out with their third estimate which is typically their last, and it came kind of back down to where the trade has been expecting things. So while it sounds big, they dropped production 385,000 tons. Ooh. It's really coming back in line to what the trade's been expecting. The yields they're forecasting are abysmal. I think it's 62.75 tons per hectare for cane, and normal is around 70. So off more than 10% on their yields, which is pretty incredible. I can't even tell you how long it's been since they've had yields this low in Mexico. It's super long. So they came out, their production number, they lowered the area that's going to be harvested as a result of the dryness as well. And the yield for manufacturing what they recover on the sugar as well. So they come up with the figure just under 5.4 million tons, but that's still quite a bit above where the USDA is listing their demand at 5.235 million tons. So they should still have more sugar to export to the United States. I think, you know, they can come up closer to the export limit established under December WASD. But, you know, they might not get 1.46. Just really depends on how this tail end of the crop goes and whether they're able to get all of the cane left in the fields harvested and processed before the rainy season starts. So it'll be interesting.
How about the mix between raw and refined and what comes up? Is there any concern on refined that's coming up because of this situation down there?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting question. If you look at it just on refined and you think of white refined sugar, 99.9% pull, there's a lot of reason to expect not very much refined sugar to come up. I think you may see more sugar that gets classified as refined, but it, you know, it's probably going to be Estendar grade or something like that to fill up their quotas and whatnot. And, you know, they're doing a decent job on producing raw sugar again to get that moving. So I don't expect a lot of refined sugar to be coming up in some of these quotas. That's very interesting either. I think a lot of the sugar that's, you know, 99.5 pull, 99.6, et cetera, will fill up a lot of these quotas and tranches and things. So,
okay. And why don't we touch on the world market before we shift over to the premium content and talk a little bit about commercially what's happening. But world market down big again today. Again, the zombies are out. You're at 9 cents all the way under 10 cents in the nines all the way through the October 20 position. How fast do you have to run to get away from a zombie, Kevin?
Yeah, well, it depends on which zombies you're talking about. My TV watching has educated me that there are some zombies that are really, really fast, and then there are some slow ones. And I can't remember the names and the classifications for them. But
okay.
Yeah, if it's one of those sprinters, you better have your acting gear and get moving, because
Either that, or I'll be with somebody that's slower than me.
Okay, well, there you go. just stand around, Craig. You're okay. With that guy's back, I know you can run faster than him.
Hey, I hope so, yeah.
You got your cross-country experience. You got your cardio going. I got confidence in you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
But, when you look at the number 11s in the world market, obviously this is time of year. Brazil's new crop is coming online. They're starting to process, so you get a little bit of harvest pressure entering into here. You've got the whole energy complex being abysmal. Economy shutting down, so where is the sugar going to end up? I don't think we're going to go negative like crude oil futures do.
Yeah.
But, you just saw, I didn't even know futures could go negative until we saw that happen for the first time. Could it have this get continued pressure? I think you could make the case there might be a lot of sugar out there, but generally demand for sugar isn't going away. People are still eating. Maybe in some other parts of the world, it's a lot less. And maybe sugar consumption gets impacted a little bit more than the United States, but it's still a basic commodity people are going to eat. So I hate to even guess on the downside, but it's interesting. And, you know, this is another one of those times where we actually are talking about safeguard provisions of the tier two duties in the United States, that we've got that low with values here in the 9 cent range. You got to take that tier two values and add in 0.68 cents 68 points for raw sugar.
Right.
And you add in, what is it? Probably for refined, like refined markets, obviously higher than that number 11, but you're probably adding like penny 1.41 cents per pound on refined values today to those tier two values. So interesting times. You don't see that happen very often, but we're there today.
Excellent. Well, great recap, Kevin. And I'll remind everybody that subscribers to the IQ platform, the ingredient intelligence platform, make sure you check out our monthlies. We have really good monthly posts for cocoa, sugar, corn sweeteners. And basically, it's a great recap, monthly recap of what's happening, the things that are driving supply and demand. Go ahead and check that out. If you're not a subscriber to our IQ platform, simply go to McKinney-Flavel.com for more information, or reach out to us, give us a ring, or go to inquire at McKinney-Flavel.com. And Kevin, I'm going to do one thing for our listeners here. You know, my son Nate is really into Bigfoot right now.
Nice.
And he's doing a study on it for school. I want those, he needs a poll, because he's asked a lot of people whether they believe in Bigfoot or not. So if you want to give your opinion on whether Bigfoot is real or not, email us at inquire@McKinney-Flavel.com, or whether you believe Bigfoot is real or not. And, we'll use that poll in his report. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Kevin, do you believe? Are you a believer?
I have to say I'm really not a believer. Sorry, Nate. Sorry, Nate.
It's okay. There's one for the no believers. So, but anyway, we're going to wrap this up. Hope everybody has a great weekend. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment with your friends and your family. Stay 6 feet away. Stay healthy. Stay safe. And until next week, take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye now.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Flavel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.